We're going to continue our study here in 1 John. It's an 8-part series, and this is part number 3. As we're going through this, we're going to get here in 1 John chapter number 2. Remember I shared with you as we got ready to start this, there are 3 titles that are given to God in the book of 1 John. God is light, God is love, and God is life. And so we're going to dissect all 3 of those as we go through here. Again, John wrote 5 books in the New Testament, the Gospel of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and the book of Revelation. And we know that in the Gospel of John, Jesus Christ is represented in his deity. Here in 1 John, Jesus Christ is represented in his humanity. So here we see the man that is Christ Jesus, and we see the aspect of him being 100% man and walking as our example. And here in this first 2 chapters, we're dealing with Christ being the light, or God being the light. And we talked about the actuality of that light in the first chapter. And then Sunday night, we talked about the association of that light. And we made a lot of applications that if we're walking in darkness, it's because we're not walking with God. And we're not walking in the light like we should be. And here tonight, we're going to look at the awareness of that light. The awareness of that light. Look at verse number 3. And we're going to read through the verses here. We'll cover 11 verses tonight. Look at verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the truths of the word of God. Lord, as we begin to look in your word, help us to be able to understand it. Lord, not once in this passage of scripture, in this book, or anywhere in your Bible for that matter, do we find a works-based salvation, but there are so many out there that try to pervert these scriptures and try to add works to salvation, but that's not what it's talking about. That is not contextual. And I pray, Lord, that you'd show us the truths of the word of God. Help us to have an awareness of the light of God in our lives and to walk in your light. As you are light, and to walk in the word of God. We'll praise you. We'll thank you for it. Teach us your word tonight. We ask these things in your name. We pray. Amen. Here in 1 John, again, we're dealing with Christ or God being the light. We talked about the actuality of that light and how, who Jesus Christ is in chapter number 1. And then we talked about the association and our dealings with him. Since he is in the light, again, in him dwelleth no darkness at all. And darkness is the absence of light. And the reason our world today is so dark is because of the absence of God in society. It is the absence of Christians going out into the world trying to reach the world with the gospel. We are not letting our light shine like we should. And we can make application to Matthew chapter number 5. The Bible says a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. We are the light of the world because the light of Christ dwells in us, and he's left us here to light this world up for the cause of Christ. And that's what we've been left here to do. You'll notice again in chapter 2, verse number 3, and hereby we do know that we know him. There's some assurance that is given if we keep his commandment. There's 2 aspects we're going to look at tonight in our awareness of the light. And first, the first aspect is going to be this. Our character ought to be one of imitation. They say that imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. You've heard that phrase before. My youth director used to say it regularly. Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. And our character ought to be one of imitation. Not one of impersonation, but one of imitation. We are trying to imitate or follow the example that Jesus Christ gave us while He was here on this earth. The Bible says, hereby do we know that we know Him. If we keep His commandments, if we were to go around the room and ask people to testify of how you know that the person sitting next to you is a born-again child of God, the only answer and the only response that we would be able to garner up would be the fact that they are walking like a Christian ought to walk. That's the only testimony that we can give, is that we've seen a difference in their lives. We've seen them walk with God. We've seen them live the Christian life the way that Jesus Christ tells us to live the Christian life. By the way, if that's the only response that we as a child of God can give about others around us as to whether or not they're truly saved, how do you think the world's going to be able to tell whether or not we are truly saved? We've got to live different than the world is living, and we've got to live according to the commandments of the Word of God. Hereby do we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Hold your place here and go back to John chapter number 14. Jesus Christ, or John chapter 13, sorry. John chapter 13, Jesus Christ. No, sorry. John chapter 15. I'm getting my verses and my chapters mixed up. John chapter 15, verse number 14. We know in John 15, 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. But verse 14 says, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. So here Jesus Christ even tells us that we ought to follow in the steps that He has given us. We ought to follow in the commandments that He has given us. We ought to do everything according to what He has told us to do. Notice here, verse 15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I've called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. So as we follow the commandments of God, go back to 1 John, as we follow the commandments of God, as we follow the Word of God, as we do what Christ has commanded us to do, the Bible says that we would bear fruit, and that fruit should remain. So here, we know that we're a child of God because we keep His commandments. Notice here the absolute for knowing God is found in verses 3 to 6. Verses 3 and 4, we know that here knowing God is evidenced by knowing God's Word. Listen, let me make this profound statement, all right? Are you ready for this? This is going to get real deep. I'm just kidding. We can't do His commandments if we don't know His commandments. We can't obey the Word of God if we're not reading the Word of God. We can't obey the Word of God if we're not hearing the Word of God when it's being preached and proclaimed. Listen, we can't obey the Bible if we're not in church when the man of God's preaching the Word of God. We've got to know what to do. That's why it's so important that we show up for church. We got to be able to keep His commandments, but we can't keep the commandments that we don't know. There's a phrase that most of you have probably heard. It's, you don't know what you don't know. I used to hate that phrase. People would always say it. I don't know. I don't know what it is about. I never liked that phrase. But there's a reality to it, Brother Brad. You don't know what you don't know. Why? Because you haven't learned it yet. You don't know it. We don't know. Listen, the world doesn't understand what they're missing out on in this Christian life because they don't know who God is. We can go back to the Old Testament. You can look at the tabernacle and how the tabernacle was this beautiful, beautiful oracle of the presence of God on the inside. On the inside, it has all the tapestry. On the inside, it's got the purple and the white linen. On the inside, it's got the golden instruments. They're in the middle of a desert. They walk around with golden instruments. But all that stuff's on the inside. But when you look on the outside of the tabernacle and you're on the outside looking in, all you see is this drab, gray badger skin. You don't see anything that's appealing. You don't see anything that looks like you would want to be a part of that. See, the world, they see things from the outside looking in. They don't see why we do the things that we do. It's not until you get inside of Christ. It's not until you get inside the tabernacle that you see the beauty that is found in Jesus Christ. And it's not until you become a child of God that you find the beauty that is associated with Jesus Christ. You see, the world sits and contemplates all these different things about why they want to do this or why they want to do that. And they can't figure out why us Christians are doing the things that we're doing for God. It's because they've never experienced Jesus Christ. Because once you experience Him, then you will know. John 7:17 tells us that once you do the doctrine, obey the doctrine, then you shall know whether it's of God. Here, our compliance to God is evidenced by knowing His Word. We know Him if we keep His commandments, but we can't keep His commandments if we don't know what they are. And then verse number 4, He that saith, I know Him and keepeth not His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So not only is us knowing God evidenced by us knowing His Word, it's also evidenced by us keeping His Word. See, it's not just good enough for us to be able to know what the Word of God says. We've actually got to do what the Word of God says. Which is worse, Brother Nick, somebody who knows what to do and doesn't do it, or somebody who's never learned and can't do it? In all reality, the worst one is the one who knows what to do and they're not doing it. Listen, you can overlook ignorance for a time. When your child comes up and they're a little one and they break something, they don't know what they're doing. They destroy something inadvertently. They didn't know what was going on. They didn't know that they weren't supposed to touch that, or they didn't know they weren't supposed to do something. You can have some grace because you have not taught them yet. But if they continually do the same thing over and over and over again after you've told them time and time again not to do it, then you get a little bit more frustrated. Then a little bit more judgment comes out. Why? Because you expect them to do what they know to do. Right? Are we following along? God's the same way. There's a time in the Word of God tells us that God will wink at our ignorance. But once we know what the truth of the Word of God is, we are then accountable for that truth. I'm convinced, Brother Thoreau, that's why some Christians don't read their Bible. Because they don't want to be accountable to it. I'm convinced of that. There are some people that genuinely do not want to obey the Word of God. So what they do is they don't read the Word of God so they can have an escape. Listen, God's not going to overlook that either. Hereby we know Him if we keep His commandments. But if we say that I know Him and I don't do what He tells me to do, then I'm a bold-faced liar. And the Bible says the truth is not in me. That's what the Bible says. We're reading the same verse. That does not mean that I've lost my salvation. That means that I'm not reading the Bible like I should. You want to know why Christians are more prone to sin? Why some Christians are more prone to sin than other Christians? Because some Christians aren't in their Bible. Because when you get away from God and you get away from the Word of God, then we're going to be more prone to go back to the world, the flesh, and the devil. But if we fill our mind with the things of God, and we walk with God, we spend our time reading the Bible, and we spend our time in prayer, and we spend our time walking with God, then we're not going to have time to sin. Again, that doesn't mean we're going to reach sinless perfection. But as we get closer to God, we ought to sin less and less every day. I'm never going to be perfect. I'm going to make mistakes. Listen, there's times where you're going to read your Bible and you're going to get fired up about what God is doing in your heart and in your life. And then you're going to go to Walmart and all that's going to get thrown out the window. Why? Because people are people. And sometimes they can get a little annoying. Walmart's a good place to test your patience of Christianity. Amen? It's a good place to test that. But here, I've got to follow the Word of God. And I show other people that I'm a child of God by whether or not I keep the commandments that He's given me. By whether or not I'm living the life that I'm supposed to live. I was talking to a church member just the other day. They had called me up and they were sharing with me a testimony of somebody that had come and visited the church and how they enjoyed being at the church and they enjoyed the spirit, they enjoyed the love and the family atmosphere. And the church member had told this guy, he said, listen, our church isn't like other churches. We actually try to apply what we learn. We try to do what the Word of God says. We don't always get it right, but we're trying. You know what? That's a reality. And there's going to be times we don't always get it right, but we ought to be trying. We ought to be trying. Here, the absolute for knowing God is based in our compliance. We got to know God's Word and we got to keep God's Word. But also, it's based in our continuance. Look at verses 5 and 6. But whoso keepeth His Word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. You want to be able to love other people? Then you love the Word of God more than anything else. You walk with God and God will give you a love for people that you've never imagined. Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked. Here, there ought to be a continuance in our lives, which is evidenced by our walking with God and our waiting in God's Word. Our walking with God and our waiting in His Word. You see, as we walk with God, the Bible says, teach me thy way, O Lord, in Psalms 27:11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. The Word of God says to teach me. And then it says to lead me. Well, sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes we don't learn things as fast as we should. Anybody else in that boat? Sometimes we got to be told a few times, right? Repetition, back and forth, constantly. And here, sometimes for God to teach us His way and to lead us in the plain path, it's going to be time after time where God has shown us and shown us and shown us, and now we're trying to apply it, and we're trying to take a step in the right direction, and we're trying to do right, and we're getting led in the path that God has for us. All the while, He's teaching us His way. Why? Because we're walking with God, and we're waiting in His Word. That's the essence of the Christian life. It's compliance and continuance. You obey the Word and you continue in the Word. Listen, there's no deep truth there. It's very simple. Walk with God. We've got to spend time with the Lord. This is the awareness of that light. It's our character is one of imitation. We see the absolute for knowing God. But then we see the awareness for knowing God. Look at verse 7. Brethren, verse 7 and 8. I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment write I unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. Listen, the old commandment and the new commandment are both the same thing. They're this. Obedience. Obedience. He says, I'm not writing anything new. I'm telling you the same thing that you've learned from the time that you got saved. Brother Thoreau, used to be pastor here. I'm saying the same things he's always said. When you get saved, what ought you do? Be faithful to church. Be faithful in your Bible. Be faithful praying. Be faithful witnessing to others. There's no new commandment. We just obey what God's told us to do. We just do everything that we've been taught. We continue in the work that we've been given. There's nothing new. By the way, Ecclesiastes says there's no new thing under the sun. And by the way, if there's a preacher that gets in the pulpit and tries to give you some new doctrine, we're going to kick him out of here. Amen. Because there's no new thing in the Bible. We're going to do what God says. There's not a new way of salvation. There's not a new way of service. There's not a new way of surrender. It's just doing what He says. Here, I write no new commandment, an old one, which you had from the beginning. He says you've heard it time and time again. But hold your place here. Go back with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to hasten. Don't worry, we start at the same time we did earlier. Fret not. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 1. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Look at verse 3. But I fear, lest by any means, this is how the devil operates, he does not care about you. By any means necessary is what the devil will do. By any means. If it wrecks and ruins your family, if it destroys your relationship, if it causes you to lose your job, it does not matter to the devil. He wants you to do anything other than what God wants you to do. By any means. As the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. See, this is how the devil operates. He operates very subtly. Now, Brad, that's not a bad thing. It's okay to do that. I mean, what does he know? He's the same age you are. Right? The devil operates subtly. He begins to put a little doubt. Who does he think he is telling you how you ought to live? You've raised kids older than him. Right? That's how the devil operates. Through his subtlety. The things I say have nothing to do with my age. It has to do with the truths of the Word of God. We preach the truth not because we know it all. We preach the truth because this is what God said. I don't have anything new to give you. We're going back to the old book. Because the old book's got all the answers. Amen. But the devil operates through subtlety. Through his subtlety, notice, so your minds should be corrupted. It likes to mess with your head. You ever had the devil do that with you? Every one of us have. He gets up there, and you're like, devil, get out of my head. You just want to start banging your head on something. Get out of there. Every time I start hitting my head, I just want to get that song. We sat at the dentist office yesterday with the kids. Good night. They were in the back for 30 minutes. I looked over at my wife. 15 songs in a row. I knew what they were. Look, I know that one too. I know that one too. She said, my wife's like, I got to get you out of here. I was like, I know. This is annoying. These things are stuck in my head now. It was annoying. But what does the devil do? He corrupts our minds. Right? But notice how he corrupts it. From the simplicity that is in Christ. Miss Sharon, what the devil wants you to do is he wants you to think it's a hard thing to serve God. He wants you to think it's difficult. Guillermo, he wants you to get busy with all these other things and forget how simple it is just to read the Word of God. Forget how simple it is to take some time and pray. Brother, Keith, he wants you to get distracted by the busyness of life. And man, it's just too hard, I can't. You can't open your Bible and read a verse? We read the channel on the TV. We read the title of what we're watching. It doesn't take 5 seconds to read a verse. You say, I'm a slow reader. Okay, it'll take 2 minutes to read a verse. Whatever. It doesn't take long. What I'm saying is the devil wants to distract you. The devil wants to convince you that it's a hard thing to serve God. It's hard. That's how he operates. Here, John's telling them, I've got no new commandment. Walk with God. Obey God. Paul's telling the church at Corinth. He said, I'm afraid because I've given you to the Lord and I've taught you how to walk with God. But I fear that the devil's going to creep in and try to corrupt your minds from the simplicity that's in Christ. I'm not oversimplifying anything tonight. Go back to 1 John with me. I'm not oversimplifying it. I'm not belittling anything at all. But the reality is this. If we want to serve God, we will. Are you listening? If you want to serve God, you will. Put all the excuses to the side. If you want to live for God and you want to pray and you want to read your Bible and you want to come to church, if you want to do it, then you're going to make time for it. That's the reality. Because we make time for what we want to make time for. We do. We schedule things. We prepare things. By the way, why do we pass out a schedule and calendar at the beginning of the year? Because we want you to make time for those things. Because they're important. Here, the awareness of knowing God. It's just simple obedience. How do I know God more? I want to know God more. I want to know God's will for my life. Okay, let me give you the secret. Obey what you already know. Do what God already told you to do. Follow the Word of God that you already know. And if you obey the little things, God will give you more things. If we steward well that which we've been given, God will then give us more. That's in every area of our lives. He that is faithful over little will be faithful over much. That's what the Word of God says. Your children, you want them to obey in different areas. And as they obey in different areas, you give them different responsibilities. But if they can't simply obey, you're not just going to give them the keys to the brand new car. In your right mind, you wouldn't. Amen. Right? You're going to put some restrictions on that. They've got to obey. They've got to follow the steps. God is the same way in our lives. The more I want to know God, it's going to boil down to whether or not I'm going to obey Him. If I obey Him, I can know Him more. Ye are my friends, He said in John 15, if ye keep my commandments. The closer you get to God, it's going to be based on whether or not you're obeying the Word of God. My relationship with God is always based on my obedience to God. Don't ever forget that. Our character is one of imitation. The absolute for knowing God, the awareness for knowing God, then the attitude for knowing God. Here's where it gets real. Verses 9 to 11. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. Loving one's brethren means having an addition of the light. An addition. That's adding the light to your life. He, the Bible says in verse 9, that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness. Which means if you have some kind of animosity, some kind of hatred, some kind of upsetness, some kind of bitterness, some kind of frustration or agitation with somebody else, then you're not right with God. That's what our Bible says. We're walking in darkness. Because in the Gospels, Matthew chapter 6, the Bible says, if we go and we offer an offering to God and we're praying to God and we have hatred in our heart toward our brother, we're to leave our gift at the altar. And we're to go find our brother and get right with him. And then come back and offer our offering to God. Because you can't walk with God if you're not right with others. Are you listening? And if you're not right with others, it's evidenced by the fact that you're not walking with God. That's where the reality is. We want to say, well, you don't understand what they did to you. Okay? You don't understand what your sin did to Jesus. You walk with God and you'll be able to forgive your brother. You see, he that saith he's in light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. Meaning, John's saying that if you hate somebody or have any kind of animosity towards somebody, it's evident that you are not walking with God the way you should. Are you listening? The Bible says, be ye angry and sin not. Which means, yes, there is a righteous indignation, there's a righteous anger that can be had. But don't twist that scripture and think that every time you get angry, you're doing it in a righteous way. Because we're still sinners. That's the exception, not the rule. Here, verse 10. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. Here, loving one's brethren is not just the addition of the light, but it means that we are abiding in the light. So if I love my brother in Christ and my sister in Christ, it's because I'm abiding in the light. It's because I'm walking in the Word of God. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So if I love my brother, it's because I'm walking with God. Are you listening? That's the reality. And there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Notice now, loving one's brethren means you are accompanied
by the light. Here the Bible says, verse number 10, that if I love my brother, it's evidence that I'm abiding in the light of Christ, which means I'm walking with God. But not just that. Look at what the rest of it says. There is none occasion of stumbling in him. Meaning that as I'm walking with God, then the power of God rests in my life and in your life, which is going to cause us to sin less. Are you listening? There's none occasion to stumble. You read that like I did, right? There's none occasion of stumbling in him. Meaning that I'm walking with God. The word of God's resonating in my heart. I'm living for the Lord. I'm doing everything I can to make sure that the word of God is guiding my path. And as we do that, what happens? You're not going to stumble because you can see what's going on. Because of the light of Christ in you. You're walking according to his power and according to his strength, not according to your own. So why is it that we can read our Bibles and then go about our merry way and go right back into sin? Because we never let the light resonate. Are you listening? We read out of duty, but not out of devotion. Are you listening? We read because it was a requirement, not because we wanted a relationship. Are you listening? That's why somebody can say to their spouse, I love you. And then as soon as their spouse is gone, they can start thinking about another woman or another man. Are you listening? Because they did it out of duty, not out of devotion. Okay? That's why somebody can say they love their wife. And as soon as she's gone, they can then start looking at pornography. Because they don't love her for a relationship. They love her for a requirement. He'll say whatever needs to be said to move on to the next thing. Are you listening? By the way, children do the same thing. Your teenagers do the same thing. They'll say whatever needs to be said for you to give them whatever they want. And then they go the other direction. And we're naive thinking that they're doing everything they're supposed to be doing. But we don't ever inspect what we expect. Here, loving one's brother means I am accompanied by the light. That means his power and his strength is resonating in my life and in your life as I'm walking with God and reading the Word of God and spending time in a constant state of prayer, pray without ceasing, the Bible says. As we do that, then you won't have a problem staying faithful to God throughout the day. You will find none occasion to stumble. The devil can't get into your mind if your mind is constantly filled with the Word of God. The devil can't get into your heart and into your decisions if you're meditating on the Word of God constantly and you're constantly in prayer. Next, verse 11. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Loving one's brother also means there's an attendance by the light. When something is attended, that means it is present. Here, if I hate my brother, love is absent. Therefore, the light of Christ is absent. And I'm walking in darkness. But also, loving one's brother means there's an awareness of the light. It says, he knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Are you listening? How would you like to walk throughout your day with your eyes blinded everywhere you go? You wouldn't be able to get much done. Right? For those of you that are typing on a computer, yeah, you may be able to type without looking at the keyboard. But there's only so much that you can do. Brother Anthony, you still got to move the mouse to the different icons. You still got to do all the different things that need to be done. You don't have everything memorized as to where it's supposed to be. But if you're blind, you can't see all that. You can't do what needs to be done. And here the Word of God is saying that if we do not walk in the light, then we are in that darkness. And we don't know where we're going. We don't know what we're doing. Because that darkness has blinded our eyes. You ever notice, Brother Roberto, sometimes those who aren't walking with God, they don't even realize the wrong that they're doing. Because they're walking in darkness. Their eyes are blinded. They're not aware of it. Why is it so often that so many Christians struggle with the same things over and over and over again? It's because they're not walking with God. Their eyes are blind to the destruction in their lives. They're blinded by their sins. They're blinded by their actions. And that darkness has blinded his eyes. That's why you have some Christians that think that they're in the right when they hold animosity in their heart towards their brothers and sisters in Christ. Their eyes have been blinded by the darkness. Let me say it this way. They've gotten comfortable in the darkness. They think they got this part figured out. They're comfortable not walking with God. By the way, when you get to the point in your Christian life, Brother Anthony, where we get comfortable not walking with God, get ready for sure destruction. The Bible says, he that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Proverbs 29:1. That means we continually harden our neck and harden our heart to the things of God and the truths that are being presented to us, and we get comfortable walking in darkness. We get comfortable living a life of sin. The Bible says we will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Meaning that nobody's going to be able to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Are you listening? Nobody's going to be able to put your life back together because of the destruction that God's going to bring. Brother Throw, you pastored for almost 19 years. How many times in your ministry did you have people that would come to you on the brink of divorce and say, I need you to fix my marriage? Can't fix in one meeting what took 2 decades to get to where you're at. But what happened? They were comfortable and comfortable and comfortable until the destruction came. And now the destruction came with no remedy. There's no fixing it. Can't wave a magic wand and put it all back together. Sorry, you made your bed, now you got to lie in it. This is what happens. Verse 11. He knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. He's not walking with God. He's ending up in a mess, and he thinks that everything's okay because he's blinded to it all. He's not aware of it all. By the way, and then when somebody does shine the light in their life, they get upset with the person that turned the light on. Are you listening? Paul said, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They get mad at the man of God for preaching the Word of God and it illuminating their life. And them being faced with the reality of their own making. Then they get mad at everybody else. I'm not the one that made those decisions. We're just the one that exposes the light. Amen. It's reality. It'd be like your children getting mad at you for getting on to them when they were the ones doing wrong. How dare you get on to me? Look, you're the one that did it, not me. Did you make that decision? Did you stay up past your bed? Did you sneak out of the house? Did you do those things? Because I didn't do them. And somebody left the door wide open at night and the keys in the car. It wasn't me. You come to the truth of what happened. Like your children getting mad at you. We do the same thing with God and with others when they begin to point out our sins. The book of Proverbs says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Sometimes being a friend hurts. Are you listening? Sometimes being the right kind of friend hurts a little bit. Sometimes saying the things that need to be said can be difficult and they may hurt for a moment. But listen, there's a difference between something hurting and something bringing harm. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. That means it's going to hurt for a moment, but just like when you go to the dentist and you get a tooth pulled or a tooth fixed, the hurt goes away after time. The dentist never harmed you. And your friends, when they point out the wrongdoing, the man of God, when he points out the sin in your life, it's not to harm you. It may hurt for a moment, but you get that right with God and the healing starts to take place. And then you get better off than what you were before. We have one of two choices. You get bitter or you get better. One or the other. Here,
our character ought to be one of imitation. Then lastly, our commandment is one of progression. Verses 12, 13, and 14. I'm just going to dabble a little bit into this, and we're going to break this all down on Sunday night. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. The little children would be the young, immature child of God. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known Him that is from the beginning. That father would be the mature child of God. And then I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. This would be the one who's in between. They are not the immature, they are not the mature, but they are the growing Christian that's struggling. Here we have, I write unto you little children because you have known the Father. You see, those who are immature in their Christianity, all they know is that they know Jesus. They don't know much else. They're a babe in Christ. All they know is God saved them, and that's all they know. That's all they need to know at this point. As they grow and as they learn more. They begin to mature. Then in verse 14, I have written unto you fathers because you have known Him that is from the beginning. That would be the mature child of God. You've walked with God for all these years. But then I've written unto you young men because you're strong. The word of God abideth in you and you have overcome the wicked one here. You're in a constant battle. Here we see our commandment as one of progression. We progress in three different stages. We progress in spiritual childhood. We progress in spiritual teenhood. And then we progress in spiritual adulthood. So we are immature in our Christianity. We are growing in our Christianity. And then we are mature or complete in our Christianity. And we're going to get into this more Sunday night. But right after this, he tells us, to love not the world, and all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Just like there's three categories of growth in our spiritual lives, the children, the young men, and the fathers, there's three categories of sins that those fall into. The young children, what happens? They are more geared and guided towards the lust of the flesh. A child, I want, mine. I want this because it feels good. The lust of the flesh. The young men or the young ones spiritually that are growing, they're guided or they're tempted by the lust of the eyes. That'd be materialism. Materialism becomes their distraction. As they begin to serve God, they get distracted by everything in the world. Then you have those that are spiritual adults, the fathers, those that are mature Christians. The thing the devil gets them with, Brother Nick, is the pride of life. Where their pride, look at what I did for Christ. Look at what I did for God. And God forbid anybody ever come in and do anything. Contrary to what they did. Because that's where that resonates. Three different types of sin. Lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Three different types of Christians. The immature, the growing, and then the mature, complete one. And we're all tempted according to these three manners. And we'll get more into this on Sunday night. But here, there's a progression that takes place. Our childhood is tempted by the lust of the flesh. Our immaturity. Our spiritual teenhood. Young men that are strong. Yes, you're overcoming the wicked one. But there's a constant battle with the wicked one. That'd be the lust of the eyes. The materialism, the things that distract us in this world. And then spiritual adulthood, the pride of life, where our pride gets in the way. And look at all that I did for Christ. I don't have to do anything else now. No, listen, just because we've done things for Christ for a long period of time doesn't exempt us from continuing to do things for Christ. Paul said at the end of his life, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. He didn't rest on his laurels. Listen, the church is a hospital for sinners, not a museum for the saints. We don't sit and rest on the laurels of what God's allowed us to do. We go out and we strive to do more for the cause of Christ. I was talking to a preacher just here about 8 months ago. He made the statement to me. He said he's in the position in his ministry where he's been serving God so long he can just sit and settle. And he's got to battle constantly with whether or not he's going to have a vision for God's people.
Now listen, that's a reality. It's a reality. If I ever get to the point where I don't have a vision for the church, if I don't have a vision for the direction we're headed, then I need to be honest and retire. Are you listening? Because God's given us desires, and God's given plans, and God's given a vision for His Word. And the Bible says where there's no vision, the people perish. And when we begin to plateau spiritually, the decline happens every single time. We've got to make sure that we're walking with Christ. We obey everything He's told us to do. If we walk in the light, then we're not going to stumble in the darkness. Stand with me with heads bowed, with eyes closed. This is the awareness of that light. I understand there's some simple things that we're given, but I'm giving you some meat as well. Some things for you to chew on. Spiritually, some things are going to help you grow. Growth in the Christian life comes by obedience to the Word of God. Every single time. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You for the truth of the Word of God. Lord, help us. We need You now more than ever. Lord, our world, we live in a sick society. We live in a tumultuous world. You turn on anything on television, on the news, on the radio, and you hear the blatant disregard of Christianity, but you also hear all the fear-mongering that's taking place. And we as a child of God, we need to separate ourselves from all those distractions and just get into the Word of God and read about Your love for us and about Your plan and Your desire for us and about Your will for us to go out and to share the gospel with those around us. Help us to do just those things, to simply obey the Word of God. We'll praise You. We'll thank You for it. We ask these things in Your name and pray. Amen. As the pianist plays, you come as God's laid things on your heart. What does God want?